Russian off his feet, which also inadvertently ripped the knife still stuck in the Russian's collarbone from Reese's hand. Finish it. Leading with the axe, Reese moved to end the fight, but was blasted back with a powerful kick from the Russian. Don't get careless, Reese. Close the distance, get inside his range, take that advantage from him. Pushing the axe head down in his hand into a punch grip, the bottom of the axe head resting on the top of Reese's fist, he squared off again. Sergei entered with a jab. Mistake. Reese used his left elbow to guide the punch directly into the spike of the hawk, splitting the Russian's hand in two. Howling in pain, a look of madness in his eyes, Sergei fired a reverse punch at Reese's head with his uninjured hand. Reese covered and crashed in, punching the head of his axe into the Siberian's face, taking off the bottom of his nose and leaving part of his cheek dangling and exposed. The Siberian attempted another futile, rage-filled swing, but Reese passed his opponent's arm with the shaft of his axe and darted in to clutch his enemy's head, digging the back spike of the hawk into his neck. Taking his other hand, Reese clinched him close, bumped his hips, and took the huge Russian to the ground, landing with his right knee on his chest. In full survival mode, Sergei wrapped the axe with his one massive working hand, gripping it for dear life. Unable to use his most formidable weapon, Reese reverted to a palm strike to the side of the Russian's head and followed it with an elbow. Seeing his blade still protruding from his enemy's collarbone, Reese grabbed the exposed hilt and ratcheted it back and forth like a joystick. Primordial screams of pain erupted from the large man as the vicious blade cut deeper. Reese pushed it downward toward the subclavian artery, pleural sac, and the top of the lungs, trying to force a tension pneumothorax. Sensing what Reese was trying to do, the Russian moved his enormous fist to the seal's left hand, which was working the blade into his body. Another target. Reese sliced through the Russian's last functional hand. He turned the blade over and pressure cut across his neck and throat before planting the blade into the left eye socket. Slippery with blood, Reese drew back the axe and used his hip to bump the axe to a hammer grip. He then raised it and chopped it directly into his adversary's skull. Quickly ripping it free, he continued to cycle full power blows to the head and neck, driven by a vision of Hannah's upturned eyes, her hair floating around her severed head. In one last attempt at salvation, the giant rolled over, wrapping up Reese's ankle. This exposed his side and back, giving Reese new targets, which he attacked with a vengeance. The seal continued his onslaught until the axe severed his antagonist's spinal cord with a strike to the base of the neck. Exhausted and steaming from the fluids evaporating into the cold air, Reese sank back on his heels, enveloped in a fog of death. He closed his eyes and steadied his breathing before kneeling on the Russian's face and ripping the blade from his eye. There was still work to be done. Chapter 82. Alexander deliberately followed the tracks, aware that he was not pursuing a sub-Saharan savage, but a highly trained hunter and man of war. He wouldn't find Rainsford cowering in fear at the end of the trail like he did so many of those imported from the African continent, half frozen to death in a foreign land, no. Rainsford would be thoughtful. He'd be tricky.
"Put yourself in his shoes," Alexander mused. "Where would you go? What would you do?" Rainsford was a military man. What did military men the world over do? When pressed, they went to the high ground and they flanked. Two of the basic tenets of warfare, confirmed time and time again throughout history. "Or would Rainsford know I know this, and do something only an amateur would do because I won't expect it? Will he be waiting for me in my bedroom when I return tonight? Look, He's going to the same point where his stupid sister thought she could hide. No doubt, hoping the weather would cover her tracks. She hadn't counted on the dogs. Maybe he isn't either. Soon enough, I'll put this bolt through your heart, S. Rainsford. And I'll mount your head in a jar right next to your sister's in my sleeping quarters.
Rafe watched his tormentor from the rocks 50 feet above. He'd gone as far as he could in the snow, stopping at a place where he could rock climb toward a cave in the side of the cliff. His ruse was intended to make the Russian think he had found refuge there. Instead, he had backtracked out until he made his way to a section of the snow and rock-strewn mountainside that allowed him to leave his trail. He had carefully picked his way up the slope, using rocks, ice, and the occasional exposed root to hide his tracks.
Hope is not a course of action, I know, but sometimes it's all we have.
He watched as the man who hunted him edged closer to the cliff's edge. He could sense the calculations going through his mind, attempting to anticipate Rafe's moves. Rafe had seen the contractors, heard the dogs. Without a weapon or proper clothing, his odds of surviving the night were slim. The man below had hunted his sister on this very patch of earth. Rafe imagined her terror in those last moments of life, pursued by this madman, his native tracker and hunting dogs. If he was to avenge her, he might not get another shot. Alexander's eyes followed the tracks until they left the snow for the rock of the cliff face. He imagined the route Rainsford and his sister had taken to the cave, inching their way across to what they believed was sanctuary. Was he going to spend the night in there? Was he just getting out of the elements, preparing for the coming storm? The Russian's eyes slowly moved back from the cave along the cliff face to the tracks just to the right of his feet, then back in the direction of his vehicle. His quick step to the rear probably saved his life. A football-sized rock connected with his shoulder instead of his head and sent him crashing into the snow.
Rainsford! My weapon!
Alexander scrambled to his knees. Crawling to his crossbow, he brought it to his shoulder, his eye finding the scope as Rafe Hastings descended from above in a controlled fall. Rafe flew down the rock face, his feet finding just enough purchase to direct his movement as he hurled himself toward his sister's killer. He felt the arrow take him in the right shoulder, its broad head pierced tissue and penetrated bone, his right arm immediately incapacitated. His target struggled to get to his feet, fumbling with a second bolt from his quiver. Rafe's left foot found a solid stone, planted firmly, and launched him into his antagonist, sending both of them over the edge of the precipice. Chapter 83. 15 feet to the right, and they would have both been killed on the jagged rocks. Instead, they went over the edge onto a scree slope just shy of vertical. Rafe felt Alexander take the brunt of the first hit as his body connected with a protruding rock, sending them careening toward the sea. Rafe's face made contact with the earth, and he momentarily lost consciousness, his frame briefly becoming a ragdoll. He came to as his already disabled arm shattered against a rock just before he splashed into the knee-deep surf, his leg twisting into an unnatural position with an audible snap. Before the frigid water could completely take his breath away, Rafe pushed himself to a sitting position. Gasping for air and attempting to take stock of his injuries, he wondered what happened to Alexander.
"Looks like a compound fracture,"
a voice in heavily accented Russian said above the cacophony of the surf.
"You of all people know that injuries like that almost certainly lead to death in this country. Look around you, no hospital for thousands of miles."
The waves surged in across the rocky beach, and Rafe used the one arm that worked to keep his head above the icy froth.
"You were indeed a worthy adversary," Very similar to your sister. She died right here, just up the beach on those rocks. The stupid whore jumped to her death, killed one of my dogs with a bone of all things, and then took the other one with her. I never even got a shot off. The pursuit was thrilling, though. So much better than the savages we import for sport. With you, S. Rainsford. I did get a shot off. How's the shoulder? I'm about to get another shot off and add you to my collection.
As he spoke, he used the crossbow's VersaDraw system to retract the string and cock the weapon. He then loaded a short arrow from the quiver into the rail and clicked it into position on the bowstring.
I have bested the great seal and tracker, S. Rainsford. I am the supreme hunter. You're no hunter. You're nothing but a killer. A sick, demented killer,
Rafe spat. Anger flashed in Zharkov's eyes.
Your friends are all dead by now. No one is coming. Sit up so I can kill you like a man.
Rafe struggled to bring his broken leg under him and get in a sitting position. He was going to face his death head on. He admired the beauty of the coastline, the rocks and gravel beneath him, the Arctic water rushing past, the sounds, the birds, the cliff, reminded him of Kodiak. And he remembered that this was exactly the reason the SEAL training facility had been built there, to mimic these conditions.
Just remember to watch your back.
What?
Someone is coming for you. Someone who will not stop until he pulls your beating heart from your chest and shows it to you. You're about to find out what it's like to be hunted.
Alexander put the crossbow to his shoulder and took aim. In all likelihood, the bolt would go right through Rafe at this distance, taking out both lungs and the heart. He wanted to preserve the head for his collection. The imperialist Navy SEAL and world-renowned hunter would be his most prized trophy.
You'll be with your sister in a few seconds. Be sure and tell that bitch I said fuck you for killing my dogs. Her head does make an attractive trophy, though. What was wrong?
Alexander willed his finger to pull the trigger, but nothing was happening. He tried again, confused. His breathing was heavy, and his head felt like someone was slowly turning down the dimming switch of a light bulb. He sank to his knees on the gravel beach in front of his quarry, his crossbow falling from his grasp. He looked down to see the wooden shaft of an arrow protruding from the left side of his chest. He admired its craftsmanship, trying to place where he'd seen it before. As his body jolted forward, a second shaft appearing alongside the first. Alexander gazed at the native arrowheads in an odd mix of wonder and bewilderment, then fell forward into the crashing surf.
Rafe! Rafe!
Reese scrambled down the rocks toward the beach, sliding along with the scree in a semi-controlled descent. He had watched Rafe fall to his side and disappear beneath the waves, the powerful undertow dragging him out to sea along with the man who, moments earlier, had him dead to rights. Reese hit the beach at a dead sprint, the wet pebbles doing their best to impede his progress. He crashed into the surf, arms searching desperately for his friend.
A body.
Reese held tight and heaved it out of the water, turning it over and looking into the open death stare of Alexander Zharkov.
Fuck!
Reese pushed the body away, frantically feeling for a second one. Come on!
There!
A shoulder rolling in the surf. Reese surged toward it as the ocean gave him one last chance.
Got him!
Reese grabbed his friend as another wave surged over them, quickly rushing back out to sea underneath itself and working to bring the two warriors along with it. Reese wrestled through the icy water, looking back at the incoming waves. dragging Rafe toward shore. He dug in to resist the undertow, then heaved forward in the brief respite between waves. In knee-deep water, then ankle-deep, Reese continued to hoist his comrade from the current that threatened to pull them into the depths. Finally, above the relative safety of the low water mark, Reese scanned the cliffs above for threats before turning his full attention to his friend. Reese had no idea what had transpired before he sent the two arrows through Zharkov's heart, so he immediately assessed his patient, worried that the cold water could mask a massive arterial bleed. Even through his pant leg, Reese could tell there was something seriously wrong with Rafe's leg. His right arm was bent in an unnatural position, the swelling increasing by the second, to say nothing of the arrow shaft that protruded from his shoulder. Reese felt for breathing and a pulse. Pulse was weak. No breathing.
Shit! Stay with me, buddy!
A quick check of Rafe's airway confirmed that it was clear, so Reese delivered two quick rescue breaths, watching his friend's chest rise and fall with the life-saving respiratory assistance. Reese jerked back as Rafe's body involuntarily lurched up, his eyes opening wide as his lungs drew in the much-needed oxygen. Rafe's eyes came to focus on the man who had just saved his life. As he returned from the dead, he was hardly able to form his first word.
Zharkov!
Reese shook his head. It's done, brother. Rafe closed his eyes and nodded.
We need to get you off this beach, Reese said, assessing the routes up. Get this fucking arrow out of me!
Reese knew he had to do something with the bolt. It had penetrated completely through Rafe's shoulder. The razor-sharp broadhead was projecting out his back.
Turn on your side and try to think of something pleasant.
Reese positioned his friend on his side and carefully unscrewed the arrowhead from the bolt. He then grabbed the shaft from just below the fletchings and, without warning, pulled the carbon intruder from Rafe's body. A heavy grunt was all that escaped the seal's lungs.
That wasn't as bad as I thought, Reese said.
Speak for yourself. I think my leg's broken. Arm, too.
I believe you're right, Reese responded, checking Rafe's distal and pedal pulses. Don't go anywhere. Reese charged up the rocky shore and grabbed two pieces of driftwood, snapping one over his thigh before running back to his patient.
I'm going to splint these, buddy. No sense in dragging you out of here if the bones are going to grind through those arteries.
Reese attached the thicker makeshift splint to Rafe's upper leg, lashing it in place with his tourniquet and belt. He then did the same for Rafe's arm, using Zharkov's crossbow sling to secure the improvised splint in place.
How did you get here?
How are we getting out? Rafe asked.
Your dad and Thorn are coming in with the Albatross. The boys are here, too. Farkas took some shrapnel to the leg. He's in bad shape, but Eli, Devin, and Chavez are moving him to extract, along with your cellmates. Even Ito made the trip.
What? You invaded Russia?
Didn't have much choice. And if we don't make it to extract, we are getting left behind, so let's get you up and out of here.
Rafe turned his head to look at the steep scree slope before them.
I'm really glad you joined me for those workouts. Looks like I'm back to owing you one, Rafe said.
If I make it to the top of this hill, you will. Up you go, Reese said, as he grabbed the larger man by the wrist and leg, rolling him up and into a fireman's carry.
One step at a time, Reese.
Chapter 84. Reese pushed the six-wheeled off-road vehicle through the falling sleet. Rafe kept drifting in and out of consciousness in the second row of seats. Without a GPS to guide him, Reese drove toward the rising sun just visible as a lighter section of the horizon, hidden behind a gray wall of clouds. They were 2 hours late for extract, and Reese knew the odds of getting off this island with his friend were minuscule. They had launched with too little information and broke the cardinal rule of mission planning. They had no secondary or tertiary plan for extract. Everything hinged on making it to the Albatross, which Thorn would pilot as close to the wavetops as